Hello and welcome. This is Pastor Terry, and I'd like to welcome you to my Bible study podcast. This daily podcast is a place where we take the teachings of Scripture seriously, but ourselves, not so much. Join us as we dive into the sacred word of the Bible, and each time we read, we pray, we change the world. Welcome to Pastor Terry's Bible Study Podcast.
Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to today's podcast. It is Monday, February the 19th, 2024. We are in the first week of Lent. Yesterday was the first Sunday of Lent, so we were doing readings that correspond with those days on the church calendar. So today we'll be reading Genesis 37, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, and Mark chapter 1, portions from each of those. Good morning, Ms. Simmons. Welcome, everybody. Hope everybody had a great, good weekend. Like I was saying earlier, it's a little rainy weekend here, but today is supposed to be nice. I think we're out of the rain for a little while, a little cooler, but good. So this week, I am on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, but Thursday I will not be on. Have a wedding I'm doing for actually one of my daughter's friends that was our neighbor when we lived in another neighborhood. And so going to Eustis area of Florida to do a wedding. So I'll be over there Thursday, Friday. So, but yeah, so Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, we're on, but just a little note about Thursday. Be out on Thursday. All right, let's do it. Let's see what the Lord has to say to us today through his word. So glad that you guys are on. Thank you for being here. Thank you for liking it and subscribing and all that stuff on the YouTube channel. You can subscribe to the channel and you'll be notified every time we go live. Thank you for doing that. All right. You know what we do? We read, we pray, we change the world. Genesis chapter 37, which is the Joseph story. Jacob lived in the land where his father had stayed, the land of Canaan. This is the account of Jacob's family line. Joseph, a young man of 17, was tending the flocks with his brothers, the sons of Bilhah, and the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives. And he brought their father a bad report about them. Not a great way to win friends and influence people. Ratting them out. Now, Israel loved Joseph more than any of his other sons because he had been born to him in his old age. And he had an ornate robe for him. When his brothers saw that their father loved him more than any of them, they hated him and could not speak a kind word of him to him. There's a lot of bad blood going here, right? Joseph is the youngest. Joseph is he might be a little bit of a booger, you know what I mean? Brought their father a bad report about the brothers. And Jacob or Israel is showing favoritism towards Joseph, which the brothers obviously pick up on. So there's a lot of animosity already brewing here. Good morning, everybody. Good morning, Trevor. Good morning, Deborah. Joseph had a dream. And when he told it to his brothers, they hated him all the more. he said to them, listen to this dream I had. You're going to love it. That's funny. You're going to love this dream. There's this dream where you are going to bow down to me. You're going to love this dream. Just wait to hear this. Oh, my goodness. Oh, he said, listen to this dream I had. We were binding sheaves of grain out in the field when suddenly my sheaf rose and stood upright while your sheaves gathered around mine and bowed down to it. Isn't that awesome? Yeah, isn't that wonderful? Yeah, why aren't you guys not so excited? Why aren't you guys loving this? Why aren't you guys enjoying this dream? Aren't you excited? You know, not every dream God gives us is for public consumption. You know, sometimes God, not every word God gives us is for the public. It's for us. You know, there's nothing wrong with this dream that Joseph has. But it's not really a dream to be shared with the brothers, really. Right? I mean, this dream is guaranteed to create animosity, especially when there's already bad blood. So Joseph's EQ, emotional intelligence right here, is not very high, right? He's not very self-aware of the way other people are going to receive his messages. I mean, you tell people who already aren't super fond of you that, hey, one day you're going to bow down to me. Probably not going to be something they're excited to hear. I think sometimes God speaks things to us for us and just for us. And it could truly be a dream. It could be a great dream, a great vision God gives you for your life. Doesn't necessarily mean you've got to be careful the audience that you convey that to. Because it can be taken the wrong way. It can be hurtful, unintentionally hurtful. Verse 8, his brother said to him, do you intend to reign over us? You're the youngest. What do you mean? You're going to reign over us, really? Will you actually rule over us? And they hated him all the more because of his dream and what he had said. And he just doesn't know when to stop. Here he goes. Well, I had another dream. He's not getting it. Well, maybe if I tell you my other dream, then you'll understand. Then you'll be more on board. So let me share you with my other dream. I had another dream, and this time the sun and the moon and the 11 stars were bowing down to me. Oh my gosh, Joseph, 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 Joseph. Oh man, you ever been in the presence of someone and you're like, oh my gosh, I can't believe they just said that, right? You're like, oh, stop already. You know, like foot in the mouth kind of thing. Like someone's, talking bad. You're at a potluck dinner and someone's saying, man, this something's not right. This pie just doesn't taste right. But you know that the person who made the pie is sitting at the same table as you. And you're like, don't just stop. And you just keep, the person just keeps going on and on about the pie. It's just not right. It tastes funny. There's a foul odor to it as well. It's like, yeah. And you're like, here Joseph just keeps talking. He didn't need, I mean, the dream, you know, right to your point. I mean, the dream was a revelation to Joseph, but it the sharing of the dream maybe could have been done a little better. And then now it's like, now this one is like cosmic, right? Like the whole world's going to bow down to me, basically. The sun and the moon, the 11 stars were bowing down to me. His dad gets it, though. When he tells his dad's like, you fool. When he told his father as well as his brothers, his father's rebuked him. See, dad knew. Dad like, that was a bad idea, bro. And he loves Joseph. He knows. He's like, it's probably true. And I don't have no reason. I have no reason to doubt that God had, you know, showed you something. And I have no, you're a gifted young man. And you've got this nice coat of many colors. And, you know, you're going to be something. But you didn't have to say that to your brothers. So what did Israel do, or Jacob do? He rebuked him. What is this dream you had? Will your mother and I and your brothers actually come down and bow to the ground before you? His brothers were jealous of him, but his father kept the matter in mind. Yeah. All right, let's jump over to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 1 through 19. Let's do it. There's some people who just... You know what I'm going to do, guys? I'm going to start adding some of you guys as moderators so you guys can remove some of these just spam... just people who are just chatting, just jumping in. Here you go, Trish. You can be a moderator. If you see something that needs to go, you can do it. Anybody else want to be a moderator? Just all you got to do is tap by the comment, and then you can delete the comment. But I can make other people moderators. So I'm not trying to. All right. Oh, Etta, you can be a moderator. Add as moderator. There you go. Etta, you're a moderator too. So if it's a nice comment, fine. But if it's just whatever, then delete them. And you just tap on the comment and remove comment, or you can block the person. Either way. There you go. Pastor Tim, you can be added as a moderator too. There you go. Perfect. All right. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 1 through 19. Paul, called to be an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and our brother Sosthenes, to the church of God in Corinth, to those sanctified in Christ Jesus, and called to be his holy people, together with all those everywhere who call on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, their Lord and ours. To those sanctified in Christ Jesus and called to be his holy people. Love it. Verse 3. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 4, I always thank my God for you because of his grace given you in Christ Jesus. Oh my gosh. Yeah. There you go. Goodbye. For in him you have been enriched in every way with all kinds of speech and with all knowledge. I always thank my God for you because of the grace given you in Christ Jesus. That's interesting, right? I am so thankful for it. It's kind of parallels to the Joseph story, right? Like he says, I thank God because I see what God's doing in your life. You've been given a special grace, and every person has, right? But there's some people like, I see God's hand on you, and I thank God when I see what God's doing in your life. That's what Paul is saying about the Corinthians. I always thank my God for you because of his grace given you. And I think that is, of course, grace of salvation, saving grace. I thank God that he saved you and redeemed you. I think it's also true that sometimes there's a particular grace in a person's life that we see, and it means something special to us, right? And we're like, man, I thank God for the grace that's at work in your life. It uplifts me, it encourages me, and I'm just blessed when I see what God's doing in your life. Verse 5, for in him you have been enriched in every way with all kinds of speech and with all knowledge. God thus confirming our testimony about Christ among you. So Paul's like, what we told you God would do in you and through you, he's doing it. And the fact that he's doing it in you and through you is a confirmation that when we told you he would do it in you and through you, that God's saving grace would do great things in and through you, it is now confirmed, because in fact, that's exactly what is happening in your life. Therefore, you do not lack any spiritual gift as you eagerly wait for our Lord Jesus Christ to be revealed. He will also keep you firm to the end so that you will be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, who has called you into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. That's awesome. Verse 10. Now we know that Paul had a tenuous relationship with the Corinthians, man, but here he starts off with some very complimentary words, right? How blessed he is by what God has done so far in their life. Verse 10. I appeal to you, brothers and sisters, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree with one another in what you say, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly united in mind and thought. Unity, right? A plea for unity in the body of Christ. This doesn't mean that you have uniformity, that you actually literally have the exact same thoughts, repeat the exact same mantras, and act the exact same way. But you have the same spirit, right? You have the mind of Christ. You have unity in the spirit. I mean, nothing hurts the testimony of Jesus more than a divided church, right? I mean, nothing is more damaging to the testimony of Jesus than a church that is always fighting and bickering. Now, here's the thing, like, the church, how do I want to say this? Sometimes I think in the church, we can elevate unity above truth. And I don't think that's a wise thing either. Some churches and church traditions wave the banner of unity to the extent that it overrides whether you're in agreement on basic theological issues, basic biblical issues. I think the church should be united around the truth of Scripture, united in our love for Jesus, united in our worship of Jesus. So I think I've just been thinking a lot about this, because even in our own tradition, there are some portions of even our own movement that are theologically diametrically opposed to where I would be, for example. And yet there's an argument, well, we need unity. We were built on unity. Well, we were built on unity and holiness, built on unity and the truth. It doesn't make sense just to exalt unity over biblical truth. No, I mean, that doesn't make any sense. It needs to be unity and holiness, unity and truth. And so both of those, I guess my point being, is both of those can be damaging to the church, right? A unity that is not based on truth, so you're united around ungodliness, or worse, falsity, which's not glorifying to God, or you're disunified. You're just always bickering and fighting, and that's not glorifying to God either. So Paul's like, I appeal to you. The Corinthians' problems was that they were just divided. They were just factioned off into these different groups. My brothers and sisters, some from Chloe's household have informed me that there are quarrels among you. What I mean is this. One of you says, I follow Paul. Another says, I follow Apollos. And another, I follow Cephas. I'm sorry, I skipped a verse here. I appeal to you, brothers and sisters, in the name of our Lord Jesus, that all you agree with one another in what you say, and that there be no divisions among you, and that you be perfectly united in mind and thought. My brothers and sisters, some from Chloe's household have informed me that there are quarrels among you. What I mean is this. One of you is, I follow Paul. Another, I follow Apollos. Another, I follow Cephas. And still another, I follow Christ. So they're like, this is my guy. This is my pastor. This is my guy. This, and they're fractured into all these different groups. And Paul's like, that's not glorifying to God. Verse 13, is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Were you baptized in the name of Paul? I thank my God that I did not baptize any of you except Crispus and Gaius. So no one can say that you were baptized in my name. Yes, I also baptized the household of Stephanas. Beyond that, I don't remember if I baptized anyone else. I can't remember. His point is, it doesn't matter. We're baptized into Christ. For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom and eloquence, lest the cross of Christ be emptied of its power. Ooh, I love this verse. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, the intelligence of the intelligent I will frustrate. Wow, I love that. If I don't have any tattoos, guys, but if I were to have a tattoo, it would either be Romans 1:18 or Romans 1:16, or it would be this verse, 1 Corinthians 1:18. It would either be I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation, or it would be 1 Corinthians 1:18. Two of my favorite verses about the power of the cross. The message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to those who are being saved is the power of God. Man, that's so true, right? I mean, people mock and ridicule the cross of Christ, but for those who see it, those who receive the salvation, we discover that it is indeed the power of God. All right, let's jump over to the Gospel of Mark. Mark chapter 1, verses 1 through 13. Thanks, everybody, for being on. Thank you guys who are helping out with the moderating. Appreciate that. I hope it's not too distracting for you. But definitely helpful. Thank you. Mark chapter 1, verses 1 through 13. The beginning of the good news about Jesus the Messiah, the Son of God, as it is written in Isaiah the prophet, I will send my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way, a voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight paths for him. Kind of a nice segue or tie into yesterday's message about John the Baptist, that we all, in a sense, have a John the Baptist ministry. We aren't Jesus, we aren't the Messiah, but we all, in a sense, are John the Baptist. We prepare the way of the Lord. We make straight paths for him. We point people to him. And so here, the beginning of the Gospel of Mark is begins with John the Baptist's ministry. Verse 4, and so John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness, preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sin. The whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem went out to him, confessing their sins. They were baptized by him in the Jordan River. John wore clothing made of camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. Yum. And this was his message. After me comes the one more powerful than I, the straps of whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. Wow. John's like, I can baptize you in water, but he is going to actually enable you to have the Holy Spirit dwell in you permanently. He is going to open up. He's going to make available to you the Holy Spirit. Wow. And John, from the beginning, is like, he's coming after me. He is far better than me. I'm not the Messiah, right? This goes back to what we talked about yesterday in John chapter 3, when John the Baptist says, I am not the Christ. I've told you many times, I am not the Christ. I'm not worthy. And here's an example of that. I'm not even unworthy to untie his sandals. What a beautiful spirit of humility. Man. At that time, Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. Just as Jesus was coming up out of the water, he saw heaven being torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven. You are my son, whom I love, and with you I am well pleased. It's a lot of beautiful parts of that. Of course, it's the presence of the Trinity, right? You got the Father, Son, Holy Spirit all there. But this idea that the affirmation of Jesus before he even begins his ministry. This is my beloved son, and I'm pleased with him. Why? Because he is. I'm pleased with him. He hasn't done a single thing yet as far as in his ministry, but I'm pleased with him. At once the Spirit sent him out into the wilderness, and he was in the wilderness 40 days, being tempted by Satan. He was with wild animals, and the angels attended him. So after his baptism, he's into the wilderness for 40 days of temptation, and then would begin his public ministry in power. Awesome. Awesome. All right, you guys. Thank you guys so much for being on today and in being a part of the readings. Thank you guys for helping out with moderating the podcast. I don't know if I'll have to set that every time, but if I do, I probably will set a couple of you guys as moderators. That'll definitely help. And yeah, thank you for your patience and help with all that. You guys are awesome. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for your goodness and grace. Thank you for your holy word. Thank you for the practical and spiritual teaching that comes from your word. Lord, we thank you for the dreams and the callings that you put in our lives. God, help us to know the difference between the ones that are for public consumption and those are the ones that are just meant for us to know and to live out. Lord, help us to have an awareness of the way our words affect other people. God, help us to stay united with the people of God around your word, worshiping you. Lord, help our unity be a witness to your goodness, to your power, to your grace. Lord, thank you for my friends. May you bless and encourage each and every one of them today. Thank you for this time that we've had together. We give you thanks for it. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you, my friends. Thank you so much for being on today. Hope you guys have a great Monday. We'll be back at it tomorrow as we continue our Lent readings through the first week of Lent. And yeah, so thanks for being on. Thank you for liking, subscribing, sharing, all of that good stuff. You can subscribe to the podcast on YouTube, and you'll be notified every time we go live. So, and you'll never miss an episode. And yeah, appreciate that. You guys have a great day. Love you guys. We'll see you next time. Bye.
Thank you for joining me on today's podcast. I hope you enjoyed the show. If this episode has been an encouragement to you, take a minute to subscribe or comment or share it with your friends. You can find me, Pastor Terry, and Bayside Church on all social media platforms. You can find Bayside at Bayside Church SH. Until next time, remember, God's word is true. Everything else is merely commentary. God bless you. We'll see you next time.